Hello, and welcome back to A Better World. This is your host, Mitchell J. Rabin, and we're very glad you're joining us again today. Today we're going to have another very interesting show. We have with us a gentleman who came here from Ireland, Derek O'Neill, who is a psychotherapist there and has had some extraordinary experiences with Satya Sai Baba, who he didn't even know of just some years back, who introduced himself in the most interesting of ways to Derek. And since then, Derek has been coming to New York and going elsewhere to speak with people about the teachings of Sai Baba and what it takes to create, basically, a better world. So we're very glad to have Derek with us, and he'll be recounting some of the stories of his first encounter with Sai Baba and some of what has proceeded from there, and what we can do ourselves to empower ourselves and to become the greatest human beings, basically, that we can. So thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Mitchell.
I'm glad to have you here. If you would, because it's such an amazing story, and I think it's illuminating in itself, is how you went from your ordinary life as a therapist near Dublin, mm-hmm. and how that then turned into this deep and abiding relationship with Sai Baba.
Okay. It all happened basically when myself, my wife, and my daughter went to a bookshop in a place called Dunleary in Dublin on a sunny summer's afternoon on a Sunday. And I went in to buy a book on Carl Gustav Jung and Freud as regards to psychoanalysis. And when I went into the bookshop, I was reaching for a book on the top shelf. And from the shelf two or three below, a book literally jumped off the shelf and hit me on the foot. As I was bending down to pick up that book, my daughter said, "Daddy, I've bought you these," and handed me a package of incense sticks. And the incense sticks were Sai Baba incense sticks. Now, I had never heard of Sai Baba or anything in relation to Sai Baba.
When did this happen?
This was about...
What year?
1999. Or, you know, 98, 99.
Uh-huh.
You lose track of the time when you enter into these dimensions.
Into the divine world.
Yes. And so as I'm reaching down to pick up this book that's just fallen, my daughter hands me the incense sticks with Sai Baba on them. And when I picked up the book and turned it around, the title of the book was Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. I opened the book, I read a couple of lines from the book and decided I'd buy this book. It still hadn't even registered at that stage that Sai Baba incense sticks and the book were one and the same.
It was just being behind it.
Yeah. So I went up to pay to purchase the book, and when I went up to the assistant informed me that they didn't sell that book in the shop. So jokingly, of course, I turned around and I said, "Hey, does that mean I can have it for no payment?" And he immediately put an $11 sign on it, you know?
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And so, at least it was a master number.
Well, yeah, it's very important, I suppose, in the own, yeah. When you know about these things, it's very important.
Right.
So purchased this book, went home, sitting there that evening, Sunday evening, and started to read the book. And as I was reading the book,
you didn't get your book on Freud and Jung.
No.
I ended up with this book. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and I end up going home and reading this book there the Sunday evening. And basically, there was people sharing stories within this book of miracles that had happened to them through this man who was Satya Sai Baba. And, you know, people had stood out of wheelchairs, children whose retinas hadn't attached were now seeing. Stuff that was just beyond my logical mind and the way I would think. You know, the only person I had ever heard of in my life that did that was Jesus of Nazareth.
Uh-huh.
So as I read a little bit more, I actually started to realise that these people were saying that Sai Baba was God on earth, or Jesus returned. And being the nice Catholic upbringing I had, this was absolutely
blasphemous. I thought it would have just fit in perfectly.
No, because, you know, the way it goes, the Antichrist and such words are sort of bandied around.
Yeah.
So I took the book and I literally just threw the book there because I wasn't interested in reading any more of this rubbish.
Oh, wow.
So that was great.
So you weren't impressed with the first part of your reading?
I wasn't impressed with it because as a psychoanalytical person, I knew that this was a bit of baloney, in my opinion, then, you know, was the change, of course.
Right.
But what happened
you
next?
You knew. That's the important
thing. There was a part.
You knew.
Yeah, obviously. There was a part then. The next, that evening, went to bed, was awoken the next morning by the phone ringing. And I had 8 or 9 people booked in for psychotherapy for that day. And the strangest thing happened, because what happened really was within 1 hour, they had all cancelled their appointment. It has never happened before, and I hope it never happens again, okay?
My God.
I was left now...
8 or 9 appointments cancelled.
8 or 9, yes, in 1 hour.
Like that.
Like that, okay? So I was left with basically just a bit of file work and tidying up to do, and as I was doing this, this book was shining up at me again. So for some strange reason, I picked up the book, I started to read the book again, and the more I read it, the more closed down I was becoming to it, that this man was a faker and a chancer, and you know, how dare he feed on people's vulnerabilities and all this. So next thing, this energy just arrived into me being that I, you know, to put into words, I call it unconditional love, but that word even gets bandied around because, you know, unless you understand what it is. And I found myself doing something very strange and out of my character. I wrote a letter to Sai Baba, and in the letter I just put, "My name is Derek. If you are who they say you are, send me vibhuti and I will come." Now, I had read in the book that vibhuti was this sacred ash that while he spins his hands, if you get it, it's a healing formula. So I was basically challenging him, "You send me the vibhuti and I will come." So I put on the envelope, "Sai Baba, India," which I now understand is like putting, you know, Paddy O'Brien, Ireland, and hope it gets to the right Paddy O'Brien, of which there's 50,000 living in Ireland.
Right.
And posted the letter, and I only told 2 people that I had done such a silly thing. One was my wife, and the other was a colleague, in case I needed to be signed in at any stage, you know, as you do, keep back up. So, sent it away, 2-3 months went by, we had all forgotten, you know, the book was well and truly buried, and that was it. And then I found myself at a mind, health and body exhibition, I think you call them expos over here, health expos. And I'm looking with my colleague who I had told about the book and all the events, and I'm standing there looking at some items on the table. And next thing, this man comes up and he just taps me on the shoulder. And he says, "Are you Derek O'Neill?" And I said, "I am, yeah. Do I know you?" And he said, "Well, you know of me. Could I speak to you for a moment?" So I said to Ruth, "This guy wants to talk. Come
now,
on."
Was this an Indian man?
This was, no, he was an Irishman.
An Irishman, okay.
Well, he looked very Irish in anyway. It was hard to tell nowadays.
He appeared Irish.
But he was wearing an orange shirt that was quite long, which was interesting, as it was to turn out.
I see.
So he brought the two of us off to a table, he set me down, yeah, I should have known, set me down, and he looked straight into my eyes and he said, "Your name is Derek O'Neill, you were born in 1964, your parents' name is do-do-do and do-do-do, this accident happened and this happened," and I went, "Whoa, stop, who are you, go away," and I was in absolute fear, because this man knew all about me. Then he reached down into this bag, this little bag he had, and he took out a tin and he just put it on the table and he slid it across. And as he was sliding it, he kept eye contact with me at all times and he said, "You asked for vibhuti, now you must come." I just felt so much fear and so much terror.
In the letter, if you send me the vibhuti, I will come. India.
And here it is being delivered. I felt fear, anxiety, panic attack, you know, all the terms that go along.
As a good therapist should.
As they should. I turned to look at my colleague, who had just turned and walked into a pillar, nearly knocking herself out, because she too was registering the event going on.
This was the same colleague you had told 3 months before.
Absolutely.
And she was present,
for the whole thing. So I just took the tea and said to this man, "I can't talk to you anymore." I was rattling. I left you know, to have a cup of coffee, something to bring me back to sanity, to calm me down. And we're sitting in this little cafe having a cup of coffee. And the next thing, the door of the cafe opens, and standing there is a woman, an Indian woman, with a green sari. And at the time in Ireland, we didn't have many Indian people, and especially not wearing saris.
Mm-hmm.
So she just walked straight to our table, again looked at me and said, "I am sorry for disturbing you, but haven't I just seen you sitting with Sai Baba at the Mind, Health and Body exhibition?" And of course, it's happened again. I'm now gone. I'm losing control of my limbs. I'm in total agony and fear.
Oh,
and I just said, I have to go. So
get me out of here.
Yeah, so my friend and I literally just left. Lucky she was driving, because I would have been a danger on the roads.
Right.
We tried to analyse what had happened, but we couldn't, because the brain had just shut down.
Right.
And we returned home.
Beyond comprehension.
Beyond comprehension. All analysis has gone out through the window.
Right.
So, being an honourable man that I like to think I am, I decided I'm going. My wife was unavailable to come with me,
mm-hmm.
but my colleague, who was now totally intrigued as much as I was, said, "I'm going with you." So within 2 weeks, we had the plane tickets bought, we had the visas got from the embassy, and into India we went. When I got to India, the first thing that struck me was the poverty and the pain.
Yeah.
And yet there was a beauty behind all this that was manifest but unspeakable. So I actually started to realize.
I understand, I've been there.
You've been there.
Yes.
So then, you know, when you see it, shock to the system.
Exactly.
But you reel back, because you know, if not, you're going to end up in a heap and useless to anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And there is a beauty in the midst of it all. There's somehow some kind of joy, some beauty.
It's the lotus coming up through the soil, amidst, through the muck, through the silt. And the lotus is beautiful when it arrives. So, arrived, and next thing, in a taxi, going to Sai Baba's ashram. And when we arrived at the ashram, was absolutely blown away by the amount of white faces, all wearing white clothes and looking very angelic and holy, I have to say, which is something I didn't class myself as being too much. And got out of the taxi to be greeted by Saidam, these little kids who, you know, before I could take a breath, had my bags in their hands, telling me that we should go to their home because they have accommodation. And there was no accommodation in the ashram. My ego immediately stepped forward and went, hang on, Sai Baba has sent for me, so he has to have accommodation. I was to learn a lot about ego later. So what then happens is we were told to go to this accommodations office.
Mm-hmm.
So into the accommodations office we went, and as we're entering, these two frail old men are sitting behind desks, looking like the only thing that was holding them up was divinity. You know, because they really had the ancient
wisdom
look.
Their bodies gave up years ago.
Right? And I stepped in, and this tremendous screech came from this man. Get out! And I was to learn that I had just stepped in with shoes, which is a custom in that country. You don't step in with shoes.
Right.
So I took the shoes off, apologised, walked to his desk. And all of a sudden, this man who had just frightened the bejani out of me became very sweet. And he said, "Oh, you're back." And I looked at him with that judgment of, Asher, he's old and he's confused.
Mm.
And I said, you must be getting me mixed up with somebody else, because I've never been here before. And with that, he said, "Derek, you've been here many times and many lifetimes. Swami has been waiting for you." I went, how does he know me name? What's going on here?
Me name.
And gone. Went, you know, got accommodation, ended up in accommodation 4B. Okay. Went down. Was having a look around the ashram, heard this tremendous commotion going on behind me, turned to be standing face to face with Satya Sai Baba. I went to stick out my hand because it's a Western way, isn't it? You know, hi, sure, I'm Derek, sure, you send for me. Right. Who are you? And next,
so good to meet you.
Yeah. So this tremendous big hand landed on my chest, nearly knocked me off my balance, from a Saivadal, somebody who serves, yes, Sai Baba.
Right.
And this scream went up that he was Sai Baba was standing on the lady side of the ashram and men weren't allowed to go there. So, you know.
So you were there by mistake,
yes,
basically,
if you like,
so to speak,
out of innocence. Mm-hmm. So Swami just grinned with this full knowing grin. I felt mortified. You know, if there was a hole I wanted to go straight in, fall.
If you could, know, find one.
Because at this stage I looked around and there was sort of thousands of eyes looking in, some in astonishment, some with smiles and some with absolute giggles on their,
right,
face.
Right.
So that was my introductory into Satya Sai Baba.
Now, there was another piece that I remember you mentioning, Derek, having to do with a gentleman who was there to train you shortly after you arrived, like, mm-hmm, maybe immediately after you, mm-hmm, arrived, mm-hmm, in a form of Reiki.
That's right.
Could you,
that's
just right, give us that little piece, and then, oh, I'll ask you a few other questions.
Okay. What happened is I was only there about 2 days, and I was sitting meditating on the roof of the ashram. And when I came out of meditation, this old man approached me and he said, I've to make you a Karuna Reiki master.
Uh-huh.
Now, no, actually he didn't say that. What he said was, I've to make you a Reiki master. So I politely informed him that I had already been attuned to Theramaya Reiki.
Oh.
And he said, yes, but I've to make you a Karuna Reiki master. Now, I didn't realise there was different brands.
Yeah.
You know, like, it gets a bit commercial after a while when there's so many different,
right,
names,
right,
for the same, sure, energy.
Variations on the theme.
Yeah. So we agreed that we would meet the next day on the roof after darshan and he would do this initiation.
Uh-huh.
Great. I came down off the roof, went to my colleague who was on the same trip as me, told her about what had happened on the roof. She went, oh, Karuna Reiki, brilliant, it's very powerful. She knew something about it, I knew nothing about it. She got very excited. I was still in that sort of, okay, that's great. Next morning, after darshan, went up, sat there, the man arrived, and he said, was I ready for the initiation? I said I was. And he started initiation. Now, to be absolutely truthful, which is very important to be truthful, the rest of what I'm about to tell you actually comes from my colleague, not me.
Uh-huh.
And that's because I was to enter into some state of conscious trance. And what she was to inform me was that over just the roof that I was sitting on, out of the bluest of bluest skies, this cloud arrived. It started to drizzle rain. And a rainbow went just over the roof that I was sitting on, and a breeze was to blow items just on the on, and she was looking up at the roof at this event happening. To be truthful, I had no recall of this event, so that's what happened. After the initiation, I was in some state of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to show me some symbols that he had used during the initiation. And we actually ended up writing them on these brown paper bags, which was the only things I had. And I still have those brown paper bags, the original ones. But there was one symbol I didn't quite understand. So I looked at it, and the next day I decided I'd go and I'd ask this man, could he tell me what about this particular symbol? He had told me where he was staying, so I went and I knocked on the door, and I was to be greeted by the door being opened by a Buddhist monk. And I asked for the man, and the Buddhist monk said, oh, are you the young man, he was obviously being very polite, are you the young man who was initiated by him on the roof yesterday? And I said, I am. I said, is he here? And with that, he did something seemingly Buddhists don't do. I only know this now because I'm being educated since.
Yes.
He touched my feet and then brought him to his hands to his third eye, which I found a bit actually undiscerning. I didn't like it, actually. It was quite subservient in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was to inform me that this gentleman that was there had an interview, a private interview with Sai Baba 7 years prior to my arrival, and had been told in the interview that I would arrive, he was to initiate me, and he wasn't to leave the ashram until he did that initiation. And he had gone home that very day that he had did the initiation on me.
God.
Strange, but true.
Strange, but true. No fiction could match it.
It's, you know, as an analyst, and I still am an analyst, in, you know, but now I'm a psychiatrist. Right. You know, psy as in S-A-I, exactly. Yeah? But, you know, it's...
A truth-a-trist.
Excellent, excellent. And it's really about the understanding that there is something else higher than we, but yet is us. It is within and without. And it's about finding that, and all analysis will become irrelevant.
Right.
Because the final analysis is divinity is everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, in
so
all
no
forms.
Doubt, no doubt your analysis has shifted some since this amazing, extraordinary meeting with Sai Baba through this story.
Absolutely.
Has it? Yeah.
Absolutely. When people come now, they come and strange things happen. Like one of the strange things that happen is the vast majority of people who come to have analysis just burst straight into tears before there's any words exchanged.
Oh, really? So they get right into their heart center.
They're
emotions.
In there, yeah. Then I tell them it's not about words, it's about feeling, because you know, a lot of people unfortunately are still very numb because of hurt in their lives and other such traumas. And
suppression and
suppression, repression. So what I do now is I help them to find the divinity that is within them, and I allow them the facility to heal themselves, because I'm not a healer. You know, I facilitate healing.
Facilitator.
You know, and I've had and witnessed many, many miracles. You know, I had a woman one time came to stop smoking. And when she came to stop smoking, I ended up just hearing myself saying, you know, as God gave his son to the world, are you ready to return home to your maker? This light enveloped the room. She burst into tears. I burst into tears. And her cancer was to disappear that very day. She went to the doctor. The doctors wanted to know where her cancer was gone, because she had only been given 4 or 5 weeks to live. The reason she wanted to give up the cigarettes was because a grandchild was being born, and she was trying to hold in to see the grandchild.
Yeah, to hold on, sure, sure.
Yeah. The interesting thing is she actually ended up living for about 2.5 years after that, and then she passed on.
Wow.
Very beautiful
so
soul.
Interesting.
Great to witness the miracles of divinity in whatever form.
Of course. What do you feel, Derek, because there have been many people who have had extraordinary meetings with Satya Sai Baba of, you know, relatively similar or interesting ilk, let's just say, over the years that I've known, and we've been interviewing people here on A Better World who have had extraordinary experiences, or women in menopause getting pregnant, and, you know, according to a wish they had, and Sai Baba said, of course.
Okay, yeah.
Things of that sort. And many of them seem to be from England and, you know, the British Isles, by the way. This is a curiosity.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what do you feel he is positioning you for? Like, what do you think of the fingers on the hand your role is at this point in time?
Yeah, good question. First and foremost, I don't know. Secondly,
good answer.
I don't care. Thirdly, I'm now going with the flow, knowing that everything happens for the highest good of all concerned, including me. I'm getting to witness divinity in action. I believe that he's setting me up because of the experiences that I've had in my life, quite traumatic experiences that I've had myself, which is why obviously I became a psychotherapist. Because one thing I believe is most people who become healers and psychotherapists were very hurt individuals in their own life. That's what makes them very much qualified to do the job that they're doing.
Exactly.
And it's not about the book work, it's about are they coming from the heart, and can they relate and
first
and
heal thyself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I believe that he's setting me up to help people to empower themselves and to stop giving their power to Satya Sai Baba.
Ah, this is good to hear.
Yeah,
because this is one of the things that we witness if one goes to any of the ashrams, mm-hmm. or even the meetings anywhere in the country, and I've mm-hmm. been to many.
Yeah.
There is this sense of the devotional aspect where people are actually, to me, disempowered.
Absolutely.
And he is God, and mm-hmm. so who are they?
Absolutely.
So this mm-hmm. is a very vital and, I think, valuable role you're playing then, yeah. to yeah. turn that around, well, if I hear you correctly.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's yeah. very important. Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing here is when I witnessed that, it was quite discerning to witness that people were doing this, because within his teachings, he says it within his teachings time and time and right. time again, I've enough power of my own, don't be giving me yours.
Exactly.
You know, and then he says right. things like, I am God.
And so
that
are
blows
you.
You away, you right, know, for right. a moment. And then he says, but, so are you. The right. difference is you don't know it yet.
Exactly.
You know? So
if people just got that one piece, it would be an enormous gift.
The world, you know, would
open, be a different place.
The
right?
oyster would open and the pearl would be delivered.
Exactly.
They did. So exactly. he actually, it's strange in that he has me writing a book at the moment called Knock Me Off the Pedestal You Put Me On, in which he has Fabulous. Asked me to get him knocked off the pedestal, because people are looking at the physical form and are missing the divinity that stands behind that form.
Right.
And I've been blessed, lucky, use whatever word your mind wants,
sure.
to see this.
Yes.
And it has changed my life so much that all as I can say is, the one statement that he makes that buoys it for me is,
yes.
one religion, the religion of love, one nationality, caste, the caste of humanity. Does one God, he, it, she is omnipresent, all names and forms are theirs. Take back the power, people.
Yes, take back the power.
Don't that's give it to Jesus,
really
Buddha, or anyone.
That's right. Or Sai Baba.
Anybody.
The divinity is here. As we were saying yesterday at the United Nations,
mm-hmm.
where we were, and Derek gave a beautiful talk, where God decided to hide him, her, itself,
mm-hmm.
was not anywhere to be found outside, but indeed in the human heart. Derek, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
Beautiful. Bless you. This is Mitchell J. Raven for A Better World. I hope you were enriched by that as much as I was. And I look forward to seeing you all next week. Hello, and welcome back to A Better World. This is your host, Mitchell J. Raven, and we're very glad you're joining us again today. Today we're going to have another very interesting show. We have with us a gentleman who came here from Ireland, Derek O'Neill, who is a psychotherapist there and has had some extraordinary experiences with Satya Sai Baba, who he didn't even know of just some years back, who introduced himself in the most interesting of ways to Derek. And since then, Derek has been coming to New York and going elsewhere to speak with people about the teachings of Sai Baba and what it takes to create, basically, a better world. So we're very glad to have Derek with us, and he'll be recounting some of the stories of his first encounter with Sai Baba and some of what has proceeded from there, and what we can do ourselves to empower ourselves and to become the greatest human beings, basically, that we can. So thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Mitchell.
I'm glad to have you here.
Uh-huh.
If you would, because it's such an amazing story, and I think it's illuminating in itself, is how you went from your ordinary life as a therapist near Dublin, mm-hmm. and how that then turned into this deep and abiding relationship with Sai Baba.
Okay, it all happened basically when myself, my wife, and my daughter went to a bookshop in a place called Dunleary in Dublin on a sunny summer's afternoon on a Sunday. And I went in to buy a book on Carl Gustav Jung and Freud as regards to psychoanalysis. And when I went into the bookshop, I was reaching for a book on the top shelf. And from the shelf two or three below, a book literally jumped off the shelf and hit me on the foot. As I was bending down to pick up that book, my daughter said, "Daddy, I've bought you these," and handed me a package of incense sticks. And the incense sticks were Sai Baba incense sticks. Now, I had never heard of Sai Baba or anything in relation to Sai Baba.
When did this happen?
This was about...
What year?
1999, or, you know, 98, 99.
Uh-huh.
You lose track of the time when you enter into these dimensions.
Into the divine world.
Yes. And... So as I'm reaching down to pick up this book that's just fallen, my daughter hands me the incense sticks with Sai Baba on them. And when I picked up the book and turned it around, the title of the book was Sai Baba, Man of Miracles. I opened the book, I read a couple of lines from the book, and decided I'd buy this book. It still hadn't even registered at that stage that Sai Baba incense sticks and the book were one and the same.
It was just being behind it.
Yeah. So I went up to pay to purchase the book, and when I went up to the assistant, the assistant informed me that they didn't sell that book in the shop. So jokingly, of course, I turned around and I said, "Hey, does that mean I can have it for no payment?" And he immediately put an $11 sign on it, you know?
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And so, at least it was a master number.
Well, yeah, it's very important, I suppose, in the old, yeah, when you know about these things, it's very important.
Right.
So, purchased this book, went home, sitting there that evening, Sunday evening, and started to read the book. And as I was reading the book,
you didn't get your book on Freud and Jung.
No.
I
ended up this book.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, and I end up going home and reading this book there the Sunday evening. And basically, there was people sharing stories within this book of miracles that had happened to them through this man who was Satya Sai Baba. And, you know, people had stood out of wheelchairs, children whose retinas hadn't attached were now seeing stuff that was just beyond my logical mind and the way I would think. You know, the only person I had ever heard of in my life that did that was Jesus of Nazareth.
Uh-huh.
So as I read a little bit more, I actually started to realise that these people were saying that Sai Baba was God on earth or Jesus returned. And being the nice Catholic upbringing I had, this was absolutely
blasphemous. I thought it would have just fit in perfectly.
No, because, you know, the way it goes, the Antichrist and such words are sort of bandied around.
Yeah.
So I took the book and I literally just threw the book there because I wasn't interested in reading any more of this rubbish. So that was
great.
So
you weren't impressed with the first part of your reading?
I wasn't impressed with it because as a psychoanalytical person, mm-hmm. I knew that this was a bit of baloney, in my opinion, then.
Yeah, right.
You know, was to change, of course.
Right.
But what happened
you
next?
You knew. That's the important
thing. There was a part.
You knew,
obviously. There was a part then. The next, that evening, went to bed, was awoken the next morning by the phone ring, and I had 8 or 9 people booked in for psychotherapy for that day. And the strangest thing happened, because what happened really was within 1 hour they had all cancelled their appointment. It has never happened before, and I hope it never happens again. Okay. I was left now
8 or 9 appointments cancelled.
Yes, in 1 hour.
Like that.
Okay. So I was left with basically just a bit of file work and tidying up to do, and as I was doing this book was shining up at me again. So for some strange reason I picked up the book, I started to read the book again, and the more I read it, the more closed down I was becoming to it, that this man was a faker and a chancer, and You know, how dare he feed on people's vulnerabilities mm-hmm. and all this. So next thing, this energy just arrived into me being that I, you know, to put into words, I call it unconditional love, but that word even gets bandied around because, yes. you know, unless you understand what it is. And I found myself doing something very strange and out of my character. I wrote a letter to Sai Baba. And in the letter, I just put, my name is Derek. If you are who they say you are, send me vibhuti and I will come. Now, I had read in the book that vibhuti was this sacred ash that while right. he spins his hands, if you get it, it's a healing formula. So I was basically challenging him, you send me the vibhuti and I will come. So I put on the envelope, Sai Baba, India, which I now understand is like putting, you know, Paddy O'Brien, Ireland, and hope it gets to the right Paddy O'Brien, of which there's 50,000 living in Ireland. And posted the letter, and I only told two people that I had done such a silly thing. One was my wife, and the other was a colleague, in case I needed to be signed in at any stage, you know, as you do, keep backup. So, sent it away, 2-3 months went by, we had all forgotten, you know, the book was well and truly buried, and that was it. And then I found myself at a mind, health and body exhibition, I think you call them expos uh-huh. over here, health expos. Uh-huh. And I'm looking with my colleague who I had told about the book and all the events, and I'm standing there looking at some items on the table. And next thing, this man comes up and he just taps me on the shoulder. And he says, are you Derek O'Neill? And I said, I am, yeah. Do I know you? And he said, well, you know of me. Could I speak to you for a moment? So I said to Ruth, this guy wants to talk. Come now, on.
Was this an Indian man?
This was, no, he was an Irishman.
An Irishman, okay.
Well, he looked very Irish in any way. It was hard to tell nowadays.
He appeared Irish.
Appeared Irish, but he was wearing an orange shirt that was quite long, which was interesting, as it was to turn out.
I see.
So he brought the two of us off to a table. He set me down. Yeah, I should have known. Mm-hmm. Set me down, and he looked straight into my eyes, and he said, your name is Derek O'Neill. You were born in 1964. Your parents' name is do-do-do and do-do-do. Your, this accident happened, and this happened. And I went, whoa, stop. Who are you? Go away. And I was in absolute fear, because this man knew all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Then he reached down into this bag, this little bag he had, and he took out a tin and he just put it on the table and he slid it across. And as he was sliding it, he kept eye contact with me at all times and he said, you asked for vibhuti, now you must come. I just felt so much fear and so much terror.
You had said in the letter, if you send me the vibhuti, I will come. India.
And here it is being delivered. I felt fear, anxiety, panic attack, you know, all the terms that go along.
As a good therapist should.
As they should. I turned to look at my colleague, who had just turned and walked into a pillar, nearly knocking herself out, because she too was registering the event going on.
This was the same colleague you had told 3 months before.
Absolutely.
And she was present for the whole thing.
So I just took the tea and said to this man, I can't talk to you anymore. I was rattling. I left, you know, to have a cup of coffee, something to bring me back to sanity, to calm me down. And we're sitting in this little cafe having a cup of coffee. And the next thing, the door of the cafe opens and standing there is a woman, an Indian woman with a green sari. And at the time in Ireland, we didn't have many Indian people, and especially not wearing saris.
Mm-hmm.
So she just walked straight to our table, again looked at me and said, I am sorry for disturbing you, but haven't I just seen you sitting with Sai Baba at the Mind, Health and Body exhibition? And of course, it's happened again. I've now gone, I'm losing control of my limbs, I'm in total agony and fear.
Oh,
and I just said, I have to go. So
get me out of here.
So my friend and I literally just left. Lucky she was driving, because I would have been in danger on the roads.
Right.
We tried to analyse what had happened, but we couldn't, because the brain had just shut down.
Right.
And we returned home.
Beyond comprehension.
Beyond comprehension. All analysis gone out through the window.
Right.
So, being an honourable man that I like to think I am, I decided I'm going. My wife was unavailable to come with me, mm-hmm. but my colleague, who was now totally intrigued as much as I was, said, I'm going with you. So within 2 weeks, we had the plane tickets bought, we had the visas got from the embassy, and into India we went. When I got to India, the first thing that struck me was the poverty and the pain. And yet there was a beauty behind all this that was manifest but unspeakable. So I actually started to realize.
I understand. I've been there.
You've been there.
Yes.
So then you know when you see it, shock to the system.
Exactly.
But you reel back because you know if not, you're going to end up in a heap and useless to anybody.
Right.
Okay.
And there is a beauty in the midst of it all. There's somehow some kind of joy, some beauty.
It's the lotus coming up through the soil, through the muck, through the silt. And the lotus is beautiful when it arrives. So, arrived, and next thing, in a taxi, going to Sai Baba's ashram. And when we arrived at the ashram, was absolutely blown away by the amount of white faces, all wearing white clothes and looking very angelic and holy, I have to say, which is something I didn't class myself as being too much. And got out of the taxi to be greeted by Saidam, 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 these little kids who, you know, before I could take a breath, had my bags in their hands, telling me that we should go to their home because they have accommodation. And there was no accommodation in the ashram. My ego immediately stepped forward and went, hang on, hang on. Sai Baba has sent for me. So he has to have accommodation. I was to learn a lot about ego later. So what then happens is we were told to go to this accommodations office.
Mm-hmm.
So into the accommodations office we went. And as we're entering, these two frail old men are sitting behind desks, looking like the only thing that was holding them up was divinity. You know, because they really had the ancient
wisdom. Their bodies
gave
up years ago.
Right? And I stepped in and this tremendous screech came from this man. Get out, get out. And I was to learn that I had just stepped in with shoes, which is a custom in that country. You don't step in with shoes.
Right.
So I took the shoes off, apologised, walked to his desk. And all of a sudden, this man who had just frightened the bejani out of me became very sweet. And he said, oh, you're back. And I looked at him with that judgment of, Asher, he's old and he's confused.
Mm.
And I said, you must be getting me mixed up with somebody else because I've never been here before. And with that, he said, Derek, you've been here many times and many lifetimes. Swami has been waiting for you. I went, how does he know my name? What's going on here?
My name.
And gone. Went, got accommodation, ended up in accommodation 4B. Okay. Went down. Was having a look around the ashram, heard this tremendous commotion going on behind me, turned to be standing face to face with Satya Sai Baba. I went to stick out my hand because it's a Western way, isn't it? You know, hi, I'm Derek, you send for me. Who are you? And next
so good this, to meet you.
Yeah, so this tremendous big hand landed on my chest, nearly knocked me off my balance. From a Saivadal, somebody who serves Sai Baba, and this scream went up that Sai Baba was standing on the lady side of the ashram, and men weren't allowed to go there. So, you know.
So you were there by mistake,
yes,
basically,
if you like,
so to speak,
out of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
So Swami just grinned with this full knowing grin. I felt mortified. If there was a hole I wanted to go straight in, fall.
If you could find one.
Because at this stage I looked around and there was sort of thousands of eyes looking in, some in astonishment, some with smiles and some with absolute giggles on their face.
Right.
So that was my introductory into Satya Sai Baba.
Now there was another piece that I remember you mentioning, Derek, having to do with a gentleman who was there to train you shortly after you arrived, like maybe immediately after you arrived, in a form of Reiki.
That's right.
Could you just give us that little piece, and then I'll ask you a few other questions.
Okay. What happened is I was only there about 2 days, and I was sitting meditating on the roof of the ashram. And when I came out of meditation, this old man approached me and he said, I've to make you a Karuna Reiki master. Now, no, actually he didn't say that. What he said was, I've to make you a Reiki master. So I politely informed him that I had already been attuned to Theramaya Reiki. He said, yes, but I've to make you a Karuna Reiki master. Now, I didn't realise there was different brands. You know, like, it gets a bit commercial after a while when there's so many different names for the same energy.
Variations on the theme.
Yeah. So, we agreed that we would meet the next day on the roof after Darshan, and he would do this initiation. Great. I came down off the roof, went to my colleague who was on the same trip as me, told her about what had happened on the roof. She went, Karuna Reiki, brilliant, it's very powerful. She knew something about it, I knew nothing about it. She got very excited. I was still in that sort of, okay, that's great. Next morning, after Darshan, went up, sat there, the man arrived, and he said, was I ready for the initiation? I said I was. And he started initiation. Now, to be absolutely truthful, which is very important to be truthful, the rest of what I'm about to tell you actually comes from my colleague, not me. And that's because I was to enter into some state of conscious trance. And what she was to inform me was that over just the roof that I was sitting on, out of the bluest of bluest skies, this cloud arrived. It started to drizzle rain. And a rainbow went just over the roof that I was sitting on, and a breeze was to blow items just on the on, and she was looking up at the roof at this event happening. To be truthful, I had no recall of this event, so that's what happened. After the initiation, I was in some state of bliss. And he went on to show me some symbols that he had used during the initiation. And we actually ended up writing them on these brown paper bags, which was the only things I had. And I still have those brown paper bags, the original ones. But there was one symbol I didn't quite understand. So I looked at it, and the next day I decided I'd go and I'd ask this man, could he tell me what about this particular symbol? He had told me where he was staying, so I went and I knocked on the door, and I was to be greeted by the door being opened by a Buddhist monk. And I asked for the man, and the Buddhist monk said, oh, are you the young man, he was obviously being very polite, are you the young man who was initiated by him on the roof yesterday? And I said, I am. I said, is he here? And with that, he did something seemingly Buddhists don't do. I only know this now because I'm being educated since.
Yes.
He touched my feet and then brought him to his hands to his third eye, which I found a bit actually undiscerning. I didn't like it, actually. It was quite subservient in its own way. And he was to inform me that this gentleman that was there had an interview, a private interview with Sai Baba 7 years prior to my arrival, and had been told in the interview that I would arrive, he was to initiate me, and he wasn't to leave the ashram until he did that initiation. And he had gone home that very day that he had did the initiation on me.
God.
Strange, but true.
Strange, but true. No fiction could match it.
It's, you know, as an analyst, and I still am an analyst, in you know, but now I'm a, you know, I'm a psychiatrist. You know, psy as in S-A-I, exactly. Yeah? But, you know, it's...
A truthatrist.
Excellent, excellent. And it's really about the understanding that there is something else higher than we, but yet is us, it is within and without, and it's about finding that, and all analysis will become irrelevant.
Right.
Because the final analysis is divinity is everywhere.
Yeah.
you know, in
so
all
no
forms.
Doubt, no doubt your analysis has shifted some since this amazing, extraordinary meeting with Sai Baba through the story.
Absolutely.
Has it? Yeah.
Absolutely. When people come now, they come and strange things happen. Like one of the strange things that happen is the vast majority of people who come to have analysis just burst straight into tears before there's any words exchanged.
Oh, really? So they get right into their heart center.
They're
emotions.
In there, yeah. Then I tell them it's not about words, it's about feeling. Because, you know, a lot of people, unfortunately, are still very numb because of hurt in their lives and other such traumas. And
Suppression and repression.
So what I do now is I help them to find the divinity that is within them, and I allow them the facility to heal themselves, because I'm not a healer. You know, I facilitate healing.
Facilitator.
You know, and I've had and witnessed many, many miracles. You know, I had a woman one time came to stop smoking. And when she came to stop smoking, I ended up just hearing myself saying, you know, as God gave his son to the world, are you ready to return home to your maker? This light enveloped the room. She burst into tears. I burst into tears. And her cancer was to disappear that very day. She went to the doctor. The doctors wanted to know where her cancer was gone because she had only been given 4 or 5 weeks to live. The reason she wanted to give up the cigarettes was because a grandchild was being born and she was trying to hold in to see the grandchild.
Yeah, to hold on, sure.
Yeah. The interesting thing is she actually ended up living for about 2.5 years after that, and then she passed on. Very beautiful
so
soul.
Interesting.
Great to witness the miracles of divinity of in whatever
course,
form.
Of course. What do you feel, Derek? Because there have been many people who have had extraordinary meetings with Satya Sai Baba of, you know, relatively similar or interesting ilk, let's just say, over the years that I've known, and we've been interviewing people here on A Better World who have had extraordinary experiences, or women in menopause, getting pregnant, and you know, according to a wish they had, and Sai Baba said, "Of course," things of that sort. And many of them seem to be from England, and you know, the British Isles. By the way, this is a curiosity.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what do you feel he is positioning you for? Like, what do you think of the fingers on the hand? Your role is at this point in time.
Yeah, good question. First and foremost, I don't know. Secondly,
good answer.
I don't care. Thirdly, I'm now going with the flow, knowing that everything happens for the highest good of all concerned, including me. I'm getting to witness divinity in action. I believe that he's setting me up because of the experience that I've had in my life, quite traumatic experiences that I've had myself, which is why obviously I became a psychotherapist. Because one thing I believe is most people who become healers and psychotherapists were very hurt individuals in their own life. That's what makes them very much qualified to do the job that they're doing.
Exactly.
And it's not about the book work, it's about are they coming from the heart and can they relate and
first heal thyself.
Absolutely. So I believe that he's setting me up to help people to empower themselves and to stop giving their power to Satya Sai Baba.
Ah, this is good to hear.
Yeah,
because this is one of the things that we witness if one goes to any of the ashrams or even the meetings anywhere in the country, and I've been to many. There is this sense of the devotional aspect where people are actually, to me, disempowered.
Absolutely.
And he is God, and so who are they?
Absolutely.
So this is a very vital and, I think, valuable role you're playing then to turn that around, if I hear you correctly.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's very important. Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing here is when I witnessed that, it was quite discerning to witness that people were doing this, because within his teachings, he says it within his teachings time and time and time again, I've enough power of my own, don't be giving me yours.
Exactly.
You know, and then he says things like, I am God.
And
that
so
blows you away, you know, for a moment. And then he says, so are you. The difference is you don't know it yet.
Exactly.
You know? So
if people just got that one piece, it would be an enormous gift.
The world, you know, would
be a different place.
The oyster would open and the pearl would be delivered.
Exactly.
They did. So
exactly.
He actually, it's strange in that he has me writing a book at the moment called Knock Me Off the Pedestal You Put Me On, in which he has asked me to get him knocked off the pedestal, because people are looking at the physical form and are missing the divinity that stands behind that form. And I've been blessed, lucky, use whatever word you your mind wants,
sure,
to see this. Yes. And it has changed my life so much that all as I can say is, the one statement that he makes that buys it for me is,
yes,
one religion, the religion of love, one nationality, caste, the caste of humanity. Does one God, he, it, she is omnipresent, all names and forms are theirs. Take back the power, people.
Yes, take back the power.
Don't give it to Jesus,
really,
Buddha, or anyone.
That's right. Or St. Pablo.
Anybody.
The divinity is here. As we were saying yesterday at the United Nations,
mm-hmm,
where we were and Derek gave a beautiful talk, where God decided to hide him, her, itself,
mm-hmm,
was not anywhere to be found outside, but indeed in the human heart. Derek, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
Beautiful. Bless you. This is Mitchell J. Raven for A Better World. I hope you were enriched by that as much as I was. And I look forward to seeing you all next week. Exactly, exactly. And just, we'll get a... Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Thanks. And we'll just get a shot of us standing up together.
Oh, okay.
You know, just a photo,
yeah,
so to speak.
Yes, you want me to... Is there a photo snap here?
I don't know. You can just do it, because it's like... it's all the same.
Get close.
Beautiful.
You're looking at each other, maybe?
Like
beautiful
lovers.
Exactly.
We're at it again.
Exactly. Can't stop them. Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Excellent.
Very nice.